Things going great. But if the only time you have joy is when everything is going great, then I want you to know you've missed something about the Christian life. Christian life offers more than being a slave to the circumstances of life. We can have joy whether God gives or whether God takes away. As I did this study on joy, I noticed a couple of things. The first thing I noticed is that we need to be aware of the joy thieves. You know, there's some thieves out there that want to steal your joy. They want to pull it out of your heart. They want to pull it out of your life. And the Bible mentions a number of these things, and certainly the list is not exhaustive, but I want to give you a few of those things this morning, and then we're going to look at how we can have joy in spite of these things. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we pray this morning that you might work in our lives. Father, I first of all pray that you would help each person here this morning realize that they can be joyous. They can be joyous no matter what is going on in their life. Help us, Father, to know that. Help us, Father, to know that we can live above our circumstances. We can live above life's difficulties. Help us, Father, to know that. And I pray this morning, Father, when we're finished, we'll know how. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, affliction or trouble. Affliction or trouble. First joy thief that we see in the Word of God is affliction, trouble, difficulties, problems. You know, when you look at the life of Job, which we're doing on Wednesday nights, you see his life and the song, You Give and Take Away, comes from Job's life. And you see Job with all the difficulties and all the problems he had in his life, he seems somehow to live above it all. Until his buddies came and hung with him. And then he began to look at his problems and look at his difficulties, and he began to seem to lose that joy that he had. Job, in chapter 3, begins to pour out his heart in Job 3, and he literally wishes that he would die. In fact, when you read the book of Job, you find out not only does he wish he would die, he wishes he had never been born. Have you ever been there? You know, life is so difficult, you just wish it would all end. Or life is so difficult, you say to yourself, you know what, I would have been better off if I had never seen the light of day, had never been born. Job came to a point in his life where he did wish that. And it was really his friends that led him down that track. So let me say this, the second thing that can be a thief of our joy is problem people. Problem people. Job chapter 10, verse 20, Job says of his friends, "Are not my few days almost over? Turn away from me so I can have a moment's joy." Have you ever said something similar to that with your friends? Would you just get out of here so I could just have at least a little bit of joy? I don't know, maybe you've said that to your family. You know, everybody go hide, I want to have some joy. People sometimes in life can try to steal our joy. Try to rob us of the joy that God gives us. You know, you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off. You begin to feel that road rage building up. You're going down the aisle of the supermarket, Walmart or somewhere, and, you know, someone racks you with their cart. You know, people just do things that, you know, just annoy you. And, of course, you're never that person. You are never that person. It's always the other people who are trying to steal your joy. You're never the joy thief. Thirdly, life's unexpectedness. Life's unexpectedness. By that, I simply mean that sometimes in life, things happen that we do not expect. They take us by surprise. They get us off guard. And if you will allow it, it will steal and rob your joy. Genesis 31:27 says, "Why did you flee secretly and trick me, and did not tell me so that I might send you away with mirth and songs, with tambourine and lyre. Why'd you leave? If you hadn't done that, we could have had a whole lot of joy. Jacob had snuck out on Laban. His leaving left him joyless. And life can do that to us. You know, you're driving down the road, all of a sudden you hear the thud of your tire with a nail in it. You're sitting in your kitchen and you hear the refrigerator. I used to call it sound like a bird. You ever hear your refrigerator sound like a bird? It begins to tweet and you know that, you know, it's getting towards its last end. Number four, foolish children. Foolish children. To have a fool for a son brings grief. There is no joy for the father of a fool, Proverbs 17:21 says. Can tear the heart of a parent out when they see their child doing foolish and stupid things. When children think they know more than their parents about life, when children think they have better answers than their parents, it often causes the parent to lose their joy. Number five, sin. Sin. David in Psalm 51:12 said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." In Psalm 32, David said, "Until I confess my sin, you know, my sin just ripped my heart apart." Psalm 32, verses 2 to 4. David's sin had robbed him of the joy of his salvation. And when your life is not right with God, when you get your life out of kilter in your relationship with God, I want you to know that can steal your joy. Number six, God's judgment. God's judgment can rob you of joy. Isaiah 16:10, "And joy and gladness are taken away from the fruitful field, and in the vineyards no songs are sung, no cheers are raised, no treader threads out wine in the presses. I have put an end to the shouting." Let me give you one more. Number seven, worry. Worry can steal your joy. But I don't want to concentrate on these, and there are more than these, but let me just say that these are joy thieves that can come into your life and try to steal your joy. What I would like to do this morning, spend the rest of our time talking about, is learning how to be joyous. Learn how to be joyous. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to learn how to be joyous. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16. Now I'm going to give you seven things, just like I gave you seven that would steal your joy. Number one. Realize that joy is a choice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, realize joy is a choice. Notice, be joyful when? Always. God says, look, my desire, my will, my command for you is to be joyful always. You do not have to live life controlled by your circumstances. We can choose to be joyous or we can choose not to be joyous. That choice is ours. And we need to realize that. Well, you notice here in chapter 5, verse 16, this is a command. This is God's will for our life. He wants to be joyous always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know this morning that God would not command you to do something that you could not do. God would not command you to do something that He knew you could not do. So whatever's going on in your life, I want you to know that you can have joy. It may be difficult, it may be hard, but you can be joyous. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, it says, in spite of severe circumstances, they were overflowing with joy. Speaking of the Macedonian churches, they had no money. They were living in severe circumstances, and it says in spite of those things, they still had joy. Don't live your life controlled by life. Choose to be joyous. Choose then, no matter what comes your way in life, choose no matter how difficult life can be, that you are going to be joyous. Now let me say this. Though we can choose to be joyous, though we can choose to have joy no matter what comes our way, I want you to know that without God, you cannot. In our humanness, in our human ability, you cannot be joyous in all circumstances of life without God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, lists a number of different fruit, but I want you to notice that one of those fruits is joy. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the end result is that God produces in your life joy. If God is controlling your life, if your life is being directed by God, if you are learning to fill yourself with the Word of God, if you are learning to live according to God's Word, if you are allowing the Holy Spirit to come in your life and control your life, I want you to know that you can have joy even though your eyes might be filled with tears. Even though you may be going through the most difficult of circumstances. Because God can put in your life what no one else can. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled simply means that God has control of your life. Means that God has control of your life. When God has control of your life, He produces in you joy along with many other things. Number three, learn to rejoice in the Lord. Turn with me in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Learn to rejoice in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 4. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So just like being joyful always, just like having joy at all times, we are to learn to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, what is it that brings you joy? You know, you say, man, I just got this neat phone, and this phone is so neat, and man, I got this great new video game. Man, it's just so much fun. Hey, you know what? I just bought this new house, and it is so great, or I just got this new job, or I just got this raise, or, you know, I just got this. What is it that you rejoice in? What is it that as you live your life brings you joy? I want you to know if it is the circumstances, if it is the things this world has to offer, it will not take much for you to lose your joy. Let me just say for a few moments, remind you of the story of Job. Job lost his entire family. Job lost his kids. Job lost his job. Job lost his riches. Job lost everything. And he said, in spite of all that, he would still praise God. Job's life was not controlled by his circumstances. Paul says here in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord always. Let eternal things be the thing that brings you joy. Answered prayer. God's Word, your salvation, salvation of others, fulfillment of God's promises, eternal rewards, Christian obedience, those things that God does in your life, let those things bring you joy. Connie and I were talking the other day, and I forget what the situation was, but Connie said, you know what, as you live life, all these things in this world really don't matter because they can so easily be taken from you. They can so easily be gone. But if you have a relationship with God, and you learn to find your joy in the Lord, and you learn to have Christ at the center of your life, then no matter what's going on in the circumstances of life, you can still be filled with joy. Because that joy comes from the Lord. Learn to rejoice in the Lord. Learn to rejoice in what God does in your life. I'm not saying it's easy. Because I know there's someone here sitting saying, well, yeah, I know what you're saying, but that's hard. Life is hard. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Number four, seek to accomplish some goals. Seek to accomplish some goals. Ezra chapter 6, verse 16, it says, and the people of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the returned exiles celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. When the Israelites went back into Israel after being in Babylonia, they went back in, and part of what they wanted to do was rebuild God's house, rebuild the temple. And it says, when they got that accomplished, they rejoiced. They celebrated with joy. Have you ever noticed in life that feeling you get when you accomplish something? You know, when you work at something and you dig at it and you keep going at it and you get that goal and you accomplish it, that sense you get from doing that? Be a goal-oriented person. Try to accomplish some goals in your life. Set forth to do something. You know, maybe you're playing softball this year. Have it as a goal to hit a home run. Well, let's be realistic. Some of you have it as a goal to be a home run. Some of you, like Joe, maybe you're going to get to first base. Set some realistic goals and then try to accomplish those goals. Number five. Give to God and others. Give to God and others. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know what happens when the circumstances of life start to get us? We tend to go in that inward mode where everybody surrounding us kind of gets outside and we begin to turn inside ourselves. And the further we go into depression, the further we allow circumstances beat us up, the further we go down, then everything behind us begins to get lost. And the way you turn that around is you quit being so selfish and looking at your own life and begin to focus your life outside yourself. You know, that's our defense mode. When life gets real difficult, our defense mode says, protect yourself, hide from everybody, build a wall around yourself and go inside that wall, your fortress, and don't ever come out again. I want you to know that's not the answer to dealing with life. If you really want to find joy, you really want to find the joy that God gives, get outside yourself, find someone else, and go help them. Connie and I watched a show the other night. We can't get it out of our heads. For a little while, you're not going to believe this, but for a little while I was moaning about my back hurting. And I had to have a straight talk eye to eye with my wife. Or rather, she talked to me. And she said, do you remember that guy that we saw? There's a guy in China. What's that thing called? I forget what they called it. It was a tumor. This guy in China has a tumor on his face. And the tumor was so heavy, he had to lean his face against walls or against the table so that he could hold his face up. His face no longer looked like a face. Let me ask you, what are your problems? What are your difficulties? Could you imagine going throughout life where you have to put your face on a table just to be able to hold it from falling on the ground? there are always people who have it worse than we have it. There are always people who have it more difficult than us. Learn to go find those people and help them. Learn to go find someone outside yourself and help them with their need. Help them with their problem. You know, the reality is if you spray perfume on someone else, you always get that smell on yourself. Reach out to someone else in need. I made an observation a number of years ago, and it's a simple one. Have you ever noticed that selfish people tend to be sad? And the more selfish someone gets, the sadder they seem to be. Because they're living their life for themselves. All they care about is themselves. They don't care about helping or reaching out to other people. They just care about themselves. Their whole life revolves around me. All they want to talk about is me. And the most selfish people you'll ever find are often the most sad people you'll ever find. Because they haven't learned the simple thing of reaching out and helping other people. Simple thing of learning to give. Giving to those who are in need. Number six, learn to laugh. Learn to laugh. I know some people that can't imagine. I know some people that I've never seen laugh. I've never seen them laugh. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 4 says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's nothing like a good gut-wrenching, belly-moving laugh. And that's often why when I have gone in for surgeries, I try to get everybody else to laugh because then you kind of feel better about what's going on. Learn to laugh. And learn to laugh at yourself. And when people laugh at you, laugh with them. Learn to laugh. I tell pastor friends of mine that if those who are going into the ministry, if you don't learn to laugh, you'll never last as a pastor. Learn to laugh. One more. Sing joyful songs. Sing joyful songs. We have some great Christian radio stations in the area. WRGN. Which I will be on this coming week. They have the scripture verse of the day, and I will be doing them this coming week. 5:27 in the morning. I will not be there at 5:27. 7:27, 11:30, and 5:30 at night. That's what it is. I went in last Thursday, and we taped them. You'll be hearing me, but I won't be there. 5:30, I'll probably be up, but I won't be down there. WRGN has good Christian music on it. K-Love has good Christian music on it. Family Life Network has good Christian music on it. WPEL has good Christian music on it. You know, learn to sing. You don't have to have anybody else around. You could be in the shower if you want, but learn to sing joyful songs. There's just something about singing that just helps fill your heart with joy, especially good Christian songs. Learning to live a life of joy is not kind of an easy, well, you do one, two, three, and man, you got it. You know, it's not a recipe. It's not saying that, you know, if you want to be joyous, it's easy. And no, it's about implanting all of these things, filling them as part of your life. And as you do that, you will learn to live a life full of joy. One last thought. What is the result of joy? One word. Strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You find someone full of joy, no matter what happens in life, you find a person who's strong. You find a person who's not going to quit. You find a person who's not going to give up. That's the kind of person you want to be around. A while back, I received an article from Kibbe. And it talked about September 11th. One company, don't start zipping your Bibles. You'll miss it. One company invited the remaining members of all the other companies that were decimated when the towers came down to share their office space. At a morning meeting, they held a security meeting, and they told stories of people who were still alive because of the following things. As you might know, the head of the company got in late that day because his son started kindergarten. Another fellow was alive because it was his turn to bring the donuts. One woman was late because her alarm clock didn't go off in time. One was late because being stuck on the New Jersey Turnpike because of an auto accident. One of them missed the bus. One spilled food on their clothes and had to take time to change it. One's car wouldn't start. One went back to answer the telephone. One had a child that wasn't ready on time, so trying to get the child ready, they got late. One couldn't get a taxi. One was, one that struck the person writing this was got a new pair of shoes that morning. All of these things would have been things in normal events of life that would have irritated us. But all these little tiny things had slowed people down and had kept them alive instead of dying when the towers came down. Person writes, now when I'm struck in traffic, miss an elevator, turn back to answer a ringing telephone, and all the little things that used to annoy me, I think to myself that is exactly where God wants me to be at this very moment. You can be joyous no matter what happens in your life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, our hearts can be full of joy. Help us, Father, to realize it's not a simple or an easy thing. It's something we have to learn. Help us, Father, to realize that we don't just kind of put together some magical formula. Help us to realize, Father, that all these things involve our relationship with you. And that when all put together, we can learn to get off the roller coaster ride of life. So I pray, Lord, as we walk out this morning, we would walk out having learned how to be joyous. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.